So as I mentioned, Sarah and I did some campgrounds, or state parks in New York State. We went to Watkins Glen. Look it up online. The pictures are astonishing, breathtaking. And we went to Letchworth State Park, same thing. This is an area of New York State that has waterfall after waterfall after waterfall, and each one of them were just breathtaking. And as I was there this past week on my trip, I did a couple things. One thing I did was I listened to a lot of my sermons that I've preached here. And it was interesting because being out of the area, literally, I could hear myself with a more distant mind than I usually hear myself during the week. That was interesting. The second thing that was interesting was that we were in such beautiful, astonishingly beautiful places. It just was wonderful, even though it rained heavily for 4.5 days. Even though I bashed my head 3 times, you can see it, it's a big wound on the top of my head. Even though I may or may not have driven our motorhome partially off the hydraulic jacks, I'm not admitting to that, it's a hypothetical. Even though one corner of our windshield leaked, and that was frustrating. But even in the midst of all that, we found such awesome beauty. I found myself asking the question, and again, what does it mean to bless the Lord? And what does it mean to exalt the Lord for all these great gifts and blessings? And what does it mean to be so scared that you think you're going to die? So I'd like you to hold those questions in your mind. So, dear God, come into my mind and heart this morning. Help me lift up these wonderful, beloved, worshiping and praying people in front of me and online, so that they may leave your word renewed and strengthened and closer to you. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to be preaching on Psalm 34 this morning, our second reading. The name of my sermon is, I Will Bless the Lord. And King David, who wrote it, he would have called it a psalm. But we don't really sing psalms today in church. We sing hymns or contemporary Christian music. But psalms and hymns and contemporary Christian music, all of these are ways that we can get closer to God. All of these songs, hymns, music, shape us. And because they shape us, they start to change us. And change us and bring us closer to God. Back in England in the 1800s, people said they learned more theology from Charles, that was John Wesley's brother, because Charles wrote very short hymns that were theological nuggets, and people learned more theology from Charles' hymns than they did from John Wesley's rather long, sermons. So music does such wonderful things, and the words of the songs can really touch us. And the Old Testament contains 150 psalms. David, who became king, wrote about half of them. Psalm 34 happens to be one of only 15 of the 150 that are called, separate category, individual hymns of thanksgiving. Now, remember I asked you that question, what does it mean to be so scared that you think you're going to die? David was that scared. David was that scared because King Saul thought David wanted to take his throne. And so King Saul and 3,000 of his soldiers hunted David for the purpose of killing him. It was only finally David was able to convince Saul that he didn't want to hurt him. But when that happened and Saul called off his soldiers, David wrote Psalm 34 in gratitude to God. And even though it's one of those individual psalms of thanksgiving, David wanted it to be for everyone. It's not for the individual, it's for everyone. Because what David is doing is giving us a roadmap to bless and exalt God. Kind of a how-to. And as I discovered, it's a how-to that we can actually hold and touch and read, as opposed to Google Maps, which don't always work when you're in the country and you don't know which way to go. Oh, I wish we had paper maps. But anyway, we have the psalm right here, and we can read it again and again. In this psalm, even though it's a psalm of gratitude, David is presenting us with some difficult questions, serious questions that he would like us to struggle with. Now, the first question David is wanting us to struggle with is, verse 1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. But wait a minute. That's one of those things that are easier said than done. How do we, non-divine humans, bless a God who is divine? And if you think about it, we usually think about blessings coming down from God. We ask God constantly, Dear God, send your blessings down upon me in all the different needs we have. But do we ever think about sending our blessings back up? It's not the way we normally think. And the second question David is giving us is in verse 3. It says, let us exalt his name together. Okay. But how do we, non-divine humans, exalt a divine God? I mean, God truly exalted us, right? By making us in his image, by sending Jesus, his son, to redeem us. God has exalted us in astonishing ways. But what would it mean to bless and exalt the Lord? If we're going to answer that question, we have to understand what we're talking about. So, number one, let's figure this out. We've got two words, bless and exalt. All right. Well, bless comes from the Latin word benedicere, and that means to praise. Okay, got that. Blessing means to praise. Okay, good. Exalt comes from the Latin word ex, meaning out, and altus, meaning to elevate. You know, our word altitude comes from altus. So what we're doing when we're blessing and exalting is lifting up our thoughts to God. So I want to give you a test so we can figure this out this morning. Okay, now, this is not a bad test. You don't have to write anything down. But I want to give you two scenarios and think of which scenario you would prefer. So in scenario one, imagine that your significant other, whoever that may be, says these words, oh, honey, you're so wonderful. Why don't you just take the afternoon off, do whatever you want, and I will have a special dinner waiting for you when you come home. Sounds good, right? And so you take the afternoon off doing whatever you want, and when you come home, you walk in the door and you say to your significant other, wow. This is awesome. I love this. This is great. Look at this. This is awesome. Wow. Great. And then you eat the dinner. And after the dinner is over, you say, honey, that was awesome. That was awesome. I got to tell you something. That was awesome. Okay. So that's scenario number one. But let's go to scenario number two, okay? Same setup. Your significant other says, take the afternoon off, come home, I'll have a meal for you. When you come home, imagine if you, when you walk in the door, you say these words, wow. You know, as soon as I walked in the door, I could smell your delicious food. And not only does it smell delicious, now that I see it, it looks delicious. And I notice that you have flowers on the table. You know that I love red, and you put red flowers there for me. Thank you for being so considerate. And you have candles, and you know I love candles. And you even put out our best tablecloth and dishes and silverware. Wow. This really makes me feel special. And when I start eating this food, I know it's going to taste wonderful because it smells so good. Why, this roast beef, it is juicy and tender and crisp. How did you do that? Juicy and crisp. You know, this tastes as good as the best beef I've ever eaten in a restaurant. And you surprise me. You put broccoli on the table. You know I don't like broccoli. But, I don't know what you did to this broccoli, but I gotta tell you, if you did broccoli like this every single day, I would eat it every single day. You have changed my opinion. You have done such a wonderful job of cooking it. Wow. And then you finally say, I am going to remember this meal and really appreciate everything you did to make it happen. So that's scenario two. Okay, now, show of imaginary hands. How many people want to be the significant other in scenario one? How many people want to be the significant other in scenario two? You see the difference, right? In scenario one, oh yeah, the words are complimentary, awesome, great, wonderful, but they are totally nonspecific. In fact, if you were the significant other in scenario one, you might say to yourself, was he even here? Wow, I got no, you know, because it's just so vague. But the significant other in scenario two are hearing words that are personal and specific. And you, the significant other, would feel so praised and blessed and exalted because you would see that the person eating that meal noticed every single thing that you did to make that meal happen. You might even feel exalted. And so, this is what David is doing. David, in Psalm 34, is showing us a way that we can bless and exalt God by being specific and particular in the words we offer up to God. Intentionally specific and intentionally particular. Because we are not usually intentionally anything, I'm sorry to say. So we're going to have to think about this, but if we think about it, we can really get specific and particular. And imagine if we are specific and particular when we praise God. God's going to know that we saw all his blessings, appreciate all his blessings, and God's relationship with us and our relationship with God will be strengthened. God doesn't want us to be perfect. He just wants us to be present. Like the person in scenario number two was present. So what does it mean to exalt and bless the Lord? I think the answer to this, and Sarah and I talked about this week when we were traveling, because we would get together each night in the RV named Orville, and we would talk about all of the different things we saw and how wonderful this waterfall was and this trail was and this picture spot was. It just went on and on for just an hour. So, yeah, when you go to bed, you can say, good night, God, you're awesome. Yep, you're awesome. You're a great God. That's really awesome. Had a great day today. So awesome. Wow, was that awesome. Good night. Yeah, you could do that. But what if, before you go to sleep each night, you could bless and exalt God by reliving each particular blessing that you received that day? And even better, if you're sleeping with a spouse or significant other, you could do it together. You see, what would happen then is that you would start to see the length and the breadth and the depth of all the blessings that God gives us. Because usually we think about what's happening in the last 10 minutes and we forget all of the stuff that happened several hours ago. And this is a way to bring it all home to us. So what if you could please develop a practice of intentionally, specifically blessing and exalting God each night? Now you got to ask yourself, yeah, what's the point? Imagine what that would do to your relationship with God. All of a sudden, God is not the person who you call upon for favors, but God is the person who is giving you favors and you are giving blessings. The relationship is no longer one way, it becomes two ways. And then also you can be thinking that you are living a life full of blessings. I had some struggles this week as I cracked my head three times. It was hard for me to imagine I was living a life full of blessings. I just wanted to throw something. But I made myself think about the blessings and those thoughts got through my upsetness and connected me to the beauty and the glory that was our time together in those parks. And how would this practice of doing blessing and praising specifically each night change your relationship with other people? You can figure that out. Okay, so what would it mean to bless and praise the Lord? Well, you remember that hymn, Blessed Assurance? We used to sing it in the old days. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Because remember, music, hymns change us and shape us. And when they do that, they put us in a position where we are able to bless and exalt God. And just imagine being present to God's blessed assurance every day, every minute, every second of our lives. What would happen? We might become the blessed and beloved people that God created us to be. Imagine that. Wow. In closing, I just want to give you the first couple of verses of Psalm 34, just as a reminder. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. Magnify the Lord with me, and let us bless his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. What would it mean to bless and exalt the Lord? You know what it would mean, and I know you're going to have answers to do that. And I give thanks for all this. In fact, I bless and exalt Jesus. Amen.